The kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Tiny seeds of faith. Our own faith we can think of as a tiny seed, a mustard seed that planted in our heart grows. And so if we take that little tiny amount of faith that we may have, that hopefully we have at least a little tiny seed of faith, and we can have confidence and trust that it will grow, and it will just keep growing. And as it grows, then we're kind of growing into the kingdom of God, and we are growing into the relationships of that kingdom and all the blessings of the kingdom, and that will continue to grow. But we can have that same faith in others, that if tiny seeds of faith are planted in the lives of the people around us, that faith will also grow. And kind of like Johnny Appleseed going across the country a long time ago planting apple seeds, we're planting seeds of faith all around the world, mostly wherever we go. And so you think of all the places you go, and where you are mostly is going to be right around here probably. But then we travel and we plant seeds as we travel as well. And there's no telling exactly when or how that those will grow. And Jesus has several parables about that, about the kind of soil that they are on, and about how, you know, all the other conditions that go into it that we don't really have any control over. We just really have control over just how much seeds we're going to plant. So, and we just try to do the best we can. And a lot of times the things that grow, that make the, get all the attention, are the big things that we plan, like a big event or a mega church or a super big program or big get-togethers and all like that. All the kind of things like that are big, that make a big splash. But those aren't really the things that are the most effective in the growth of the kingdom of God. It is those daily seeds of kindness, like the song says, sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noonday, and so forth. Just as we sow those seeds every day, that's kind of like the grassroots of it all. That is where the day by day, year by year, century by century, and over these thousands of years, that the kingdom of God has grown by the little things that we say and do that connect people, that plant the seeds in our hearts, that make the changes that grow within them. And so the mustard seed is one of the most famous parables because of that being such a tiny little seed, and then it grows into, and it just makes people's imagination go all different directions when you think about all the ways that the seed can grow and then what the results can be of that. Deborah Ann Belka wrote this poem, "Scatter seeds of kindness as today you make your way. You don't know just how much they could make someone's day. Spread a wide old grin, get someone else to smile. It could make them feel useful and worthwhile. Extend a happy greeting, sing out a bright hello. It may bring a little joy to someone you don't know. Disperse some generosity, it can go a long, long way to energize and cheer up someone sad you meet today. Scatter seeds of kindness, let goodwill be what you sow. How they make others feel, you may never really know. But we can always plant a seed. But we can always, that's something we can always do. regardless of where we are or what our situation may be. And the psalmist wrote, and this is in the Living Bible, "It is good to say thank you to the Lord, to sing praises to the God who is above all gods." This psalm that we began the service with today is a psalm for the Lord's Day. And later on in there, it includes this verse, also from the Living Bible: "Even in old age, they will still produce fruit and be vital and green." And I like that promise as my time continues to grow and everything. You know, that all of our whole entire lives, no matter what's going on, we're always able to plant a little seed somewhere. You know, we may not be able to do all of the things that we would like to do or all the things that we have done, but we can always plant these little seeds wherever we go. And we can always and we can always know that those little seeds are under God's control. In this psalm, he talks about not planting a seed, but in there he talks about I guess that's in Ezekiel, that he talks about cutting a shoot, you know, taking a slip off of a tree and planting that, and it grows. So the Lord has a lot of these different views of how he does, as Paul wrote, we plant the seeds, but God gives the growth. And so we can always plant those seeds and or start those shoots or whatever it is, just to get something in there. And God makes it grow. That's our part, to trust that even in the lives of situations that we think might be insurmountable or too difficult for any good to come from, God can make good come out of that planting of the seed. So I don't usually make lists, because Cheryl tells me not to make lists, but I made a list anyway. And then you can add to this list today. Some seeds that we can plant for free. Doesn't really cost us anything to plant these seeds. Thanks, as the psalmist said, give thanks to God. If we're giving thanks to God in everything, we're planting those seeds as we go, and smiles and prayers and good thoughts and compliments and encouragement and nods of recognition and food for thought. Those are things we can just plant away. We can just throw those seeds everywhere. Doesn't cost us anything, and they land all over the place and help people in ways we can't begin to imagine. We never know who will benefit or how they will benefit from the seeds that we plant. In the reading from Ezekiel, God said through the prophet Ezekiel, "Birds of every sort and every kind will live under it. They'll build nests in the shade of its branches." That's a lot like what Jesus said about the mustard seed in the gospel reading. And then this is back to the prophet speaking of those slips of cedar that are being planted. They'll grow, and you know, years later, birds will be living in it. We had some birds living in outside the kitchen window in the bush out there that was planted a long time before we ever moved there. And it's still there, and the birds are still building nests there, and we get to look out the window and watch them feed the little buddy bird in there, and that's kind of neat. And so you never know. But as the seed grows, what will come of it? And there's just all kinds of stories about that, about people whose lives were changed, and sometimes maybe a generation or two later, because of some seed that was planted in the past, somebody grew up to be a great leader, and because of just a little thing that somebody has done, lives were saved over here without anybody knowing about it. There was a story that my sister shared on Facebook the other day that was like that, and it was about a person that was hired to paint a boat. Little small boat, and so as he painted the boat, he discovered a hole in the boat and thought, well, that's no good, a hole in the boat would be sinking the boat. So he just fixed the hole while he was painting the boat, and he got done. Well, the owner, a few days later, sent him a big check, way bigger than what he had planned on paying him. And so he called him and asked him what was the purpose of this extra payment. And he said, well, he said, as it turns out, you plugged the hole in that boat, and I wanted to pay for it. And he said, well, that was nothing. I just did it as I went, you know, and just plugged it up. And he said, yeah, but when I got home, I saw my boat was gone, and my grandchildren were supposed to be there. And he said, I was afraid that, you know, they took that boat out on the lake with a hole in it. But here they came back all happy, had a big time and everything like that. And he said, because you plugged the hole in that boat, then the boat floated for my grandchildren and didn't sink. So that's kind of another one of those examples that, you know, and there's a lot of them on the internet and a lot of them in our own lives that we can think of where something little got done, we wouldn't even give it a thought, except that it had amazing other types of results that went beyond it. And Jesus said that even a glass of water given in his name would produce results. And one thing that theologically it reminds me of is our doctrine of prevenient grace, where we, it is actually a theological whole thing about grace, that that we plant these seeds before people, and seeds are planted in our lives that we don't even really know about. But the people that nurture us in the faith and introduce us to Christ and love us and bring us together is what has brought us into the Christian faith. And that's what brings others into the Christian faith too. It's God's grace at work in our lives to bring other people into the kingdom of God before they really even know it. Even little tiny babies and everything else were reaching out, and they don't know anything about God, but we include them in our fellowship, and they grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ until they come to that justifying grace that enables them to make their own choices and choose this life of Christian faith and discipleship, and then go on to the sanctifying grace that takes us and completes us in the love of Christ. So it's all a part of God's whole plan of salvation that we would just plant these seeds of love and kindness wherever we go, however we can. And Christ has opened up to us paradise for us. And God invites us to be a part of this whole new spiritual creation. In the reading from 2 Corinthians, in the Good News, it says, anyone who is joined to Christ is a new being. The old is gone. The new has come. And so now, as that song, I think we sang that last Sunday, would have been good for this Sunday, but now I'm living in the new creation. His banner over me is love. Heaven is all around us. In God, Paul said, we live and move and have our being. And so the invitation for us in all of this is to step into this life of love, one thought, one word, one deed at a time. And if that's the invitation for us, it's the invitation for all. Come unto me, all ye who are laboring and heavy laden. And it's an invitation for us to help people find that one little thought that they can build on, that one little idea, that one little feeling, that one little relationship that they can start, that spark, as we sang in the other song, that little spark that gets all started, and it all grows from there. And the Bible is filled with materials to help us see that and to understand how much God loves us. Again, in the Good News, later on in this gospel reading, it said Jesus preached his message to the people using many other parables like these. He told them as much as they could understand. And now that's interesting, isn't it? Because we have not only the parables that give us this imagery to kind of associate with our faith and communicate to us about our faith and how it grows and how it gets started and how it works out, but then also that God has given us everything we can understand. As we grow, then we get more. As we can understand more, then we get more. And it keeps growing in us like that until finally God wants us to all be complete and to be all in the kingdom of God. And so we have that other song, if we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. So we have a long, deep relationship in Christ and with each other that has no end and only just keeps getting richer and building larger and stronger and more beautiful. John Denver has a song I love, and it has a verse, "It's long been on my mind. You know it's been a long, long time. I've tried to find the way that I can make you understand the way I feel about you and just how much I need you to be there where I can talk to you with no one else around." And that was a theme that we have seen going all the way through the Bible, from the first pages in the creation story all the way to the final pages with the fountain of the water of life, that God is with us, as John Wesley said in his final words and breath. The best of all is God is with us. And in that, just towards the end of the Revelation, as the city of New Jerusalem came down from God out of heaven in John's vision, he said, "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be their people, and they shall be their God, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" And that's what God's dream has been all along, in pouring out the Spirit. Want to pour God's Holy Spirit out on everybody, on all flesh, men, women, children, everybody. And it wanted to be walk with Adam in the cool of the day, want to be our companions, and walk in the garden with us, once at the very end, to tabernacle with us, to live with us and dwell with us. God wants to be with us and invites us, saying in the last few verses of the Bible, saying, "Come, say the Spirit and bride. Whoever hears, echo, come. Is anyone thirsty? Come. All, whosoever will, come and drink. Drink freely of the fountain of life." Amen.